Okay, welcome. Welcome to the top level. Welcome to the top level. We didn't apply for .nomcom, but we got the top level anyway. And now please sit down, and we start in a second. We just get the final report on the screen. Okay, this is a public meeting of the nominating committee 2013 and 2014. I believe it's a historical first, because I don't think that they were, of course, public meetings are something that are new, which were introduced 2013, and then that we meet around the table both committees. That's also, of course, new. Can I ask the members of, just for the benefit of each other and also the benefit of our audience, can I ask that the members of the 2013 committee put their hand up? 13. Thank you. And now 2014. Okay. I think that's a majority.
Go for it.
Okay, without further ado, I just present the report. It's of it's posted, of course, on the NOMCOM site, and it's also available on paper. So I don't spend too much time on that. Well, you can't read it anyway. It has a summary. It says that what our task was. And, of course, the 2013 committee had two extra tasks in addition to the posts we were asked to fill. Otherwise, as to say, we selected one extra board member after Judith Duavit-Vasquez resigned, and we also selected a CCNSO council member to replace replace Mary Wong, who resigned. These are the members of the committee, and this is the timetable. We can't make it any bigger on the screen,
yes,
no? Okay, please.
Could we share the Adobe link as well? It wasn't in the calendar. The Adobe link wasn't in my calendar.
Yeah. So this was our timeline. Starting the kickoff meeting in Toronto, the application period that started in November and ended in May. May 1st was the original deadline. May 15th was what it was extended to. And here you can see that the actual evaluation period was quite short, but we managed to do our work. Now the report is basically just a chronological narrative of what we did. We discussed in the beginning at the kickoff meeting. We made a couple of important decisions regarding the rules of procedure. We decided to record the proceedings of the committee in case there would be controversies later about what had been said. But actually, we spent quite a lot of time afterwards, after the kickoff meeting, to establish the rules of those recordings. And one of the rules is that they actually will be destroyed after this weekend, because they are because they were just for the benefit of the NOMCOM. As it happens, they were actually never used for the purpose of establishing facts afterwards, which was good, but they were there in case they would have been needed. We also, of course, set up subcommittees for outreach, which was subcommittees for outreach, which was chaired by Cheryl, conflict of interest chaired by Wanda, and external recruitment assistance, which was chaired by Adam Peake. The first phase of our work, like for any NOMCOM, the outreach and recruitment. Outreach was done at all possible meetings around the world. You have a list, partial list here. And the other part of this work was external recruitment assistance, which we decided to have. That was the contacts to the OB, Odgers and Bertson, were handled by Adam Peake, and Stefan van Gelder. There was a, I would say, a positive experience to work with with them. We had some discussions in the beginning on how we would make the SOIs coming from them or through them, from candidates they recruited, how to make them compatible to the with the other SOIs, and that was that problem was solved. The evaluation phase, as I said, we didn't have too much time for that. There was like the first round, after which a number of candidates, 29 in total, were sent for evaluation and interviews to this recruitment firm, OB, Odgers and Bertson. And in the second round, we actually succeeded in pruning down the number of board candidates who were invited to Durban for interviews, in-person interviews. The number was 9, that was clearly something that should not be exceeded, 9, 10, because there's previous experience of you know, inviting as many as 16 candidates to the final meeting, and that is clearly too much. The our final selection meeting was 2 days, as usual, with straw polls and the final vote. Then the last phase of the NOMCOM work reporting, that is to say, the announcement of the selectees, which happened after due diligence was performed. And, of course, the names are here in the report. But then, when we thought that everything had been done and it was just, you know, smooth sailing all the way to Buenos Aires, all of a sudden there was an email from Bruce Duncan for me and said, look, I mean, you have to do some more work. So we selected the replacement for Mrs. Duavit Vasquez, and we just managed to do that just in time. That is to say, the announcement was made, announcement of Wolfgang's Wolfgang Kleinwächter's selection was made just before this meeting here. So any questions, especially from 2014 committee members about this? I think that this narrative is quite self-explanatory, and of course we'll be here. Yes, go ahead.
Right. good morning, everybody. I'm Adam Peake. So I'm a 2013 member. I was the associate chair last year and had the pleasure of working for my boss, Yurio. There's one thing I've realized that is probably not in the report, so should have noticed this before. The nominating committees sign a code of conduct, which is something that helps you understand what your obligations are in terms particularly of confidentiality of candidate information. But I think it's something that is worth sharing with all of the committees, not necessarily to amend the report, but it's certainly something that, given the nature of the work, the commitment that we make to treat candidates fairly, to treat their information in confidence, is particularly important. It also guides how information is handled. For example, at the AGM, that immaculate time when one committee turns into another, 2013 ends, 2014 starts, I will be deleting all the information I have about candidates and so on and so forth. So it's all the code of conduct is something that really guides you through the year and is important in that way. Thanks.
Thank you, Adam. Did you, Stefan?
Yes.
Okay, please.
Stefan van Gelder, member of the 2013 committee and chair-elect of the 2014 committee. Just to pick up on Adam's point about confidentiality of data and what the committee does with it, because we are in a transitional phase. I think it's useful if we can just have a short discussion about that, both being mindful of the 2013 members that are going into the 2014 committee and those new members coming into the 2014 committee. I think it's useful to ascertain how we want to treat data. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about candidate data. That, I'm sure, is very clear to everybody that is confidential. I'm talking about data that could be useful to the new committee from the old committee, such as, contracts or otherwise that we did with outside parties, processes that we might have covered, that sort of thing. I don't think it's clear, certainly not clear in my mind, but not clear in everybody's mind, how that should be handled. But it's clear in my mind that there's use there, that the 2013 committee can be useful there for the next group. Thank you.
Thank you. It's actually this is something that we can discuss when we go to the next point. That is to say, recommendations. There is actually one recommendation that touches directly this. Bill, please.
If you go back and read the public reports from the previous NOMCOMs, you will find that there is an attempt to pass that sort of institutional knowledge on, including our use in the 2013 cycle of outside consultants. That was recommended and implemented several NOMCOMs ago and published in the final report. So the final report is the vehicle for passing on institutional knowledge about how the NOMCOM has worked in the past and advice for how it may want to work in the future. If it's not in the final reports, and it should be, then there's clearly a way that we can reach out and talk to the chair and say, we think this is missing from the report, please put it in.
Bill, Cheryl Langdonor here. I respect what you're saying, and yes, that body of work is a very important contributor to what can take knowledge and experience, and as well as proposal and future planning from one NomCom to another. But I think Stefan's points were going to things like the details of contracts, things that one would not be putting in a public report. I think he was talking about pieces of process, forms of the questions we would ask, for example. A lot more administrivia, I believe Stefan was proposing, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think you're nodding yes, to have a mechanism for passing on from one to other, and you've got a queue now.
Adam, and then...
I've always understood that the information that would be destroyed, and this is actually in the code of conduct that we signed in 2013, and the 2014 committee would, of course, get the opportunity to amend and consider their own code. That's something that you would do over your weekend meeting. But 2013, we agreed to we shall destroy all confidential materials related to the work of the committee. I think confidential materials have always been interpreted as meaning the statements of interest, the references, any notes you might have taken that are about a candidate. There would be documents held by both the administrative ICANN staff and also by the chair and others related to, for example, a contract with the management consulting firm. That is information that we probably wouldn't want to share because it's of a commercial nature, but it is something that could and should be transferred on to the next committee because it's functional as opposed to confidential information about human beings. So I don't think there's any problem with transferring operational information. It's simply the candidate information that we're asked to delete. And it's amazing how these things get stuck in backups and you find one from 2006, and it's always very embarrassing when that happens, but try not to. Thanks.
Bill.
So that particular mode of operation where you have functional material that you want to pass on which is not related to persons, and in a final report you can have a public final report and you can have a closed addendum, which has happened in the past where functional materials were left with the ICANN staff to be reused. So that's a mechanism that's been used in the past. I don't think we used it this time, but it's certainly something that can be done and has been used in the past. Speaking as someone who's been on the NomCom far too long.
Okay. This is, of course, all the leadership team of the 2014 committee was already in the 2013. There is nothing to prevent our keeping things in our heads, so that this is perhaps when we talk about, for instance, experiences with Odgers and Berntsen. One thing are the actual papers and documents, but then the other is actually our sort of institutional memories of how it actually happened, and I think that will help in practice. That we have that knowledge. Let's go through the recommendations now. These are, as such, they were approved already. So this is mainly just to see if there are any questions related to them, or any more information needed. The first one is that future nominating committees are urged to develop further the openness and transparency of the NomCom processes while maintaining the absolute confidentiality and privacy of candidate information. I think this is quite clear, and so it's really up to the next committee to develop further this process we've had with monthly report cards, for instance, with open meetings at every ICANN meeting, and so on and so forth. And the second recommendation is actually comes close to what we were just discussing. That's to say, a discussion on how to improve continuity between successive non-coms while respecting the confidentiality and privacy of candidate information should continue. An elaboration of guidelines and criteria for confidentiality and privacy of candidate information could be considered. So this is, I guess that this is something that will come up at the 2 days, during the 2 days of the kickoff meeting. And the third one, non-com physical meeting schedules should include training on candidate interview techniques and relevant other recruitment human resources skills. Number four concerns the design of the SOI forms and recommendation forms, and this is also something that I think will be discussed. The main problem with the forms, as experienced by the candidates, has been that it's not savable. That is to say, you have to fill the form in one go and send it away. And there are a couple of ways, of course, to make it savable, and that they will be discussed, I guess, Friday and Saturday. Number five, new outreach methods should be developed. For instance, a monthly newsletter, which would be like a public version of the monthly report card we had. That's something that of course we'll discuss. Number six, NOMCOM should set an aspirational goal of achieving 50-50 general balance in the candidate pools for each group of positions. All candidates, whether recruited by NOMCOM and other ICANN community outreach or from any contracted professional recruitment agency, should use the same common SOI format and style when completing their applications. This is, I feel this is important from the point of view of treating candidates equally. And we had some discussions with Odgers and Bergson, because first they say that said that, well, I mean, we give you all information about candidates, so no need for them to fulfill the SOI forms. And there was some discussion back and forth, and eventually we agreed on a procedure that meant that we first get candidate information from OB in the form they produce it. We selected, the committee selected from all those applications or all those items, those which we thought had some possibilities and merit, and then OB asked them, these selected candidates, to fill SOI forms so that in the end, they were sort of on a comparable level with other candidates. Number eight, we express the hope that ICANN should ensure that the nominating committee has adequate administrative and state-of-the-art technical resources at all stages of its work. And this refers especially to situations like we have here at the end of this week, and also the final selection meeting, like we are going to have in London. That is to say, when the all facilities are here, when as long as the ICANN meeting continues, when it stops, then everything else stops, and we have to scramble, or our staff has to scramble for facilities. So we have to ensure that we have the same level of technical facilities. It's also very important at the final selection meeting when we might have to interview candidates remotely using Skype or whatever other methods. This may be a little bit cryptical for the new members, but anyway, the format for interviews with shortlisted board candidates needs to be further developed, and this is mainly an idea that when we have our 1 hour, maximum 1 hour interviews with a number of candidates, then we should have time for a repeat performance with some of them, with those who we actually think that could be selected. 10 is what I already said, is technical facilities for remote interviews. They should be improved. And 11, the follow-up processes after NOMCOM has made its selection decisions should be further developed and documented. We entered in uncharted territory after the selection meeting was over, and then eventually there was the need to produce one more selectee. This is the when one board member resigned. So we didn't have any specific rules for such situations, and we managed to do it by relying on common sense and on the unanimous decisions by the committee. But it would be good to have all these rules in writing. Also, when it comes to alternates, that is to say, when we select members for the members of the board and so on and so forth, there are also people called as alternates who will be like next in line in case that something happens with those who have been originally selected. And finally, the next NOMCOM review should be an opportunity for making changes, more sort of bylaw level changes if necessary. That's the end of the recommendations from the side of 2013. Anybody any questions or comments? Yes.
I just had Sarah Deutsch from the BC Large Business Rep. I just had a question about the third party that does the interviewing. That firm, was it the same as the firm used in the past, and how was the experience with that firm?
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
How was the experience?
Yeah.
How was the experience?
Well, the experience, I think that there were no problems with that, really. Yes.
Thank you. I'm Satish Babu from the Computer Society of India and AP Rallo. I have two questions. One relates to the fact that all information on candidates is destroyed after the cycle is over. Now, I just want to know if the next year the same candidate applies. Do we go through the same kind of information gathering process? Meaning, is there any learning that we pass on a candidate basis to the next year? I gather no. I just want to confirm that. And the second point is there any feedback that you collect from the candidates on the procedural aspect of the nomination committee's functioning, so that it might add to the or improve the next year's functioning?
The answer is, in my totally biased view, no, we do not do sufficiently on the second part. And that's something that I would like to think that the 2014 nominating committee may wish to do. Those who have, in fact, been confirmed in their roles are public enough for us to approach and have a conversation with. It may be more problematic for those who have not been confirmed, but those of us who are serving in both committees and who have knowledge of who applied and was not confirmed, I'm sure there's a way around that. It's something I would very much like to see happen. And in fact, it's a question when the leadership team for 2014 met with the Board Governance Committee in preparation for our work together with all of you in 2014 on Friday, there was an opportunity for me to say to a reappointed board member, we'd like to hear how it was from your perspective, and I think we need to do a lot more of that. Thanks for the question, Satish. It's excellent.
Robert Guerra from the ESSEC and incoming, I guess, 2014 NOMCOM. In the recommendations, as you were going through them, you mentioned that there was a nuance that perhaps could be understood a little bit better later. So I'm just wondering to what extent will the recommendations be discussed in the upcoming meeting this starting Friday, Saturday, to maybe add a bit more of nuance to see how, you know, if there are specific recommendations or actions that the incoming NOMCOM might be able to act on or push out to the board and others.
Yeah, it's of course entirely up to the 2014 committee to, I mean, what they do with the recommendation. It's just recommendations from 2013. And, for instance, what we did in Toronto was that we went through the recommendations from the previous committee, and in light of them, in some cases, changed our rules of procedure. That is where the changes need to be happening, so that they would be taking effort. And I think that this is probably what will happen this time too. Ron, please.
Thank you, Chair, and it's good to see everyone again from the 2013, and welcome to the those coming to 2014. We had a very collegial group last year, and it was a very exciting work we did. And what was the best part of it, I think, is that when we arrived at the first meeting in Toronto, we made a pact amongst ourselves, and that pact was, as we walk through this door, we park our constituencies, our relationships all outside, and we come in here and we lock arms as a team to really do the best we can to build an institution of ICANN. And the good news is, I think, and I take great pride as being part of that team, because the gentlemen such as Bruno Lanvin joining the board, Daniel Reed joining the GNSO Council, very, very highly qualified individuals that really raised the bar. And one of the things that we said was we would try to make the work of the 2014 NOMCOM very difficult by putting that bar so high that it would be difficult to get over. And I just wanted to bring that forward, because I think that the placement, and I've only spoken about two, but we filled a slate of 8 or 9 individuals, and it was a very, I think, you know, from my side, we brought a lot of value to every one of the positions that we're looking to fill. And so I just wanted to kind of reiterate that again today as we're kicking off the 2014 work, that wherever we come from is irrelevant. And what we're here to do is something that's really important together. And I'm very happy to see faces that I didn't know were on here, faces I know and those that I don't, because it's important also that we have fresh blood, fresh ideas and so forth, and fresh dialogue and discussion. So I'm looking forward to that. And one last note I would make, if I may, Chair, just coming back to this comment about notes and you know, any documentation and destroying and all of that. What is very important, literally from this day, is to take a book and make that your non-com book. Cheryl's showing. Or in your computer. But the point I'm making here is that make notes on everything. Write down everything that we're doing. What happened was, as the chair has mentioned, we had to go back and fill two spaces after the fact. And fortunately, some of us kept our notes, or we still had them because we hadn't deleted them, quite frankly. And those notes were very helpful to go back and review the qualifications of the individuals to say, okay, how now we have to put someone to fill Judith's space. Okay, let's go back and look, because we knew the criteria that we had established going in. We wanted to make sure that when we went back and put someone in that place, it wasn't just a stopgap measure, but indeed someone that was very carefully considered. And we'd spent a lot of time and a lot of dialogue, but it's very easy over the course of 9-10 months to kind of forget what was said back then. That was one of the reasons the chair also mentioned we had a go back to space where we could go back and play a recording if we found ourselves in a sticky wicket about how did we handle that then. I can't remember. We could go back and use it. Didn't have to use it, but it was nice to have it. And so in the same way, I strongly recommend that everyone just get a book and fill the pages of that book with every thought, comment, and so forth as we're going through this, because it's a great reference over the course of the year to go back and be able to see what we're doing, because we're all busy with our day jobs, we're busy with our ICANN work, and that gives you one place where everything is and keeps a clear line. So that's my comment. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that advice. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Veronica Kretsu. I want to quickly build up on the question that Robert raised on the recommendations, because it's one thing that we have on the paper right now, and there are definitely nuances behind. And I think what's really worth doing during the upcoming Friday and Saturday is to sit down and to look into how exactly we are going to design the implementation of those recommendations and to validate whether they are still relevant, they are still useful and make sense in the context of those discussions. So I think we should dedicate enough time to make sure that we deliver a clear message and understanding to the new members of the NOMCOM what has been exactly meant by those recommendations. It is important to avoid any misinterpretation of what has been recommended. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more?
Back to Robert.
Yes.
If others haven't spoken, it's just a completely different topic. So, all right. So, just in terms of, the timeline that you mentioned, I've served on the ESSAC NOMCOM, but also on the .ca NOMCOM as well too. And one of the things that we've done in the .ca NOMCOM process is, in addition to having an external company or organization try to recruit candidates, there is also, at least in the past, what was called a diversity report, which was an outside group that takes a look at the gaps in the different, either the board or other parts that are being filled, just to see, interviewed the staff and others, and just to give some advice to the NOMCOM, what are the gaps in the skills that that body has, or gaps that exist, to give recommendations in doing outreach efforts and then in selecting them. And I'm just curious if that type of, analysis of skills, knowledge, language skills, and stuff like that has been done, and if not, might that be an idea? I'm happy to propose that in the other session as well, but I thought I'd do that in the open session as well, because that would... the gender gap issue that I saw, I think, is great, but there may be other gaps as well, and that may be a way to pick that up and be more strategic in outlook and selection.
Thanks for the question, Robert. This is Cheryl again. There's two parts to my answer. One is the identification of need, including diversity, is done, but it is done from the receiving organisations with specific advice to us. And that's a model that I'm kind of okay defending, but we will discuss fully and frankly in our 2 days together. There certainly would be merit in a holistic and external review and report, but part of me thinks about whether or not the better value for that to be positioned would be just prior to a review, because there's some pluses and minuses there, and let's talk about that. In terms of the diversity, regardless of what type we're talking about. When you get your cards, it'll say on the bottom geographic, gender and cultural diversity, and these are aspirations. They really have to be aspirations because we're still talking about a meritocracy. First of all, we do have a limitation to be only able to appoint from the pool we get. And if we only get 2% females from East Asia, we only get 2% females from East Asia. So even if that was a desirable characteristic of an appointee to a support organisation, the support organisation may have said, we really want more females on our council and we would love to have more input geographically from whichever in Asia. I'll use Central Asia now because I like to switch around. If we get that sort of person in the puddle, that's great, but they would still have to be the best person for the job. We can't at this stage justify diversity for diversity's sake. And that sticks in my craw incredibly, as what some of you may note is a little bit of a pusher of female improvement and gender equity. Because unless we've got the talent in the pool, we can't push them up through the right places. So it's not, there's no place for affirmative action here. But that is where having the report done at the right time would be really valuable. And you've got a follow-on. Go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick follow-up. I'm curious if the NOMCOM actually gives recommendations to the fellowship committee or others in terms of if there's a gap that's been identified, perhaps because a certain pool can't be identified, to then provide some advice in terms of other efforts that ICANN does to try to promote, engage, support, and build up those sectors so then they could apply at a later stage.
Robert, thank you again. Cheryl, currently we particularly don't, other than in our interactions with them, which we do have at the meetings when fellowship gather at any time, we always do present and so we do specific outreach, but that's actually only using the network that they've got around the table. It's not advising fellowship how they could be more diverse and useful to us in who they put around the table. So that's a yes. I think we should look into that and follow that up. But we also need to extend, and this is something I think we should rely on each and every one of you and the networks you have influence over, to look for more of these opportunities to bring people in from outside. So I know Veronica's done particular work, and I'm going to ask her to share, and some of the other people who've been involved in outreach last time, to share where we went, what we did. And it doesn't really matter what measure of success we had. We still need to just all do better. I, for example, have been pushing very much the women in the boardroom, women on boards, the already trained governance accredited subset of people who we clearly need to get encouraged to put in their SOIs. But there's got to be a lot more. We've clearly got to have more out of Africa. We've clearly got to have a great deal more out of Central Asia and certainly out of Western Asia. And I can go on about small island and developing states till the cows come home, and that's not even touching language diversity. So, you know, yeah, there's a lot, but let's also remember that there is a review. It's only, I believe, between 12 and 18 months away, and getting things timed right for that review might be really, really useful.
Well, I would Louis Eliza, Quebec and Narolo. I was referring to the questions that you were answering, so there's a little gap here. So my understanding is that 2013 has to provide knowledge transfer and best practices for 2014. This is how I want to summarize it.
Louis, thanks for that. And it's Cheryl again, and I think that's a very good way of putting it forward. But we will be able to have further conversation in our kickoff meeting as we go through. We need to recognise that these are simply recommendations. And as I think Veronica alluded to, there may be some that may not need to necessarily be adopted in the manner in which they have been written. And that's okay too. But we do have to go through that. But you do have the benefit, of course, of having people who've served on one to the other. Go ahead, Stefan.
Thanks, Stefan van Gelder. Two points very quickly I want to make. The first, just to echo some of what's been said, the first is to remind everyone that each NOMCOM coming in makes it up its own rules, basically. So this is the right time to have these discussions as well. And the 2014 chair, supported by her leadership team, will be able to set some different rules if she shows so wishes, supported with, by the committee, to answer some of the problems or issues that have been encountered in the past. I make that point because it's actually a great, I think it's a very positive management leeway that's afforded the nominating committee. And if you look around different bodies within ICANN, actually not many have that leeway. So it's a good thing to have. The other point I just wanted to make still with regards to this kind of discussion is just to echo what Ron said earlier on about the mindset with which the 2013 committee worked. And I think that mindset, as Ron said, was evident from the kickoff meeting. So that's happening this Friday for the new committee. I think it is worth just spending 5 seconds to stress that again. You know, the committee worked as one. I think you won't find anyone on last year's committee that disagrees. And I served on the NOMCOM for the first time last year, so I don't have any experience of what went on before, but I obviously talked to people who do, and it was very clear that was last year's committee was a change. It was a change of atmosphere, and it was a change of the quality of both the work during the committee and the productivity results that came from that. So I really hope that can be carried forward. And I think it is, you know, as Ron said, it's a decision that we can all take to start with, to leave our bags at the door, as it were. I don't know, I forget how you put it, and work together. Thanks.
Well, hello. So I'm Juhani Juselius, coming from Finland, and I'm here from the CCNSO. And actually, I have a question regarding this first recommendation. So there's wish to develop this transparency and openness of the NOMCOM, but, well, taking into account this confidentiality and all the things that, well, you have done during this past period. So I just wonder what is left still, what we can do in order to improve this transparency.
The challenge is left.
And I'm willing to take up that challenge. It's Cheryl again, but I'll be taking some of you, including you, Johanna Wang, with me. One of the things we're already doing is, in fact, having the level of conversation and the granularity in the topics now, and this is a public meeting. This would not have happened this time last year. So I would like to think that we can build on these experiences, but we do need to also make sure that everyone is really clear about when we put our code of conduct together, how much time were we taking to go through and understand exactly what each things mean, and particularly the confidentiality aspect of it. And there are some things that we will discuss when we are in camera over our 2 days at the end, which may be tools and skills that older and more experienced NOMCOMers can pass on to make sure we don't become entrapped or compromised in any way. Because, you know, I'll say now and I'll keep saying it at regular intervals, you as the outgoing 2013 have clearly shown a great ability to put some superb candidates, and they really are superb candidates, into these leadership positions. But we as the 2014 need to be proud of what we do at the end of our term. And that's going to include making sure every one of us is comfortable not only with our own performance but with each other's. Go ahead, Bill.
Ron, please.
Yes. So, Bill Manning, there is a delicate tension between transparency and confidentiality, and we are not entirely free to set our own rules. We are bound within the context of the ICANN bylaws and the ICANN non-disclosure agreements, which we must sign before we can participate. That being said, there is an interesting situation which has occurred in the past, which in 2013 did not exhibit or did not experience, which was a potential candidate going public. And if a potential, if an applicant goes public, they go public, and there's nothing we can do about what they say. And so we have to be very careful in our communications about our applicants and our discussions and ensure that there is a veil drawn across so that any of our deliberations that become public will not disclose the applicants. And anyway, it's an interesting and very difficult situation when an applicant starts publicly releasing information about the NomCom process that should, from their perspective, that should in fact be confidential.
It's an interesting dance, one I think we will hopefully not have to experience too often, but we should have a bit of practice in case. Go ahead, Ron.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just responding to your question, how could we be more transparent? It is true, we really are quite transparent now. It's hard to think how we might be more, but I would suggest this. We all come from different groups, different bodies sent us here. We should all be socializing within our groups. We have non-com meetings. They're open. Make sure you put that on your agenda so you can come and hear and learn. And I think as that starts to, you know, obviously there's lots of work going on. This is probably the least important thing for many, but it may be important for others just to come and sit in on one to be able to kind of grasp where we're going with this thing and get a level of confidence or comfort that they then can go out and share with colleagues and friends. You know, you might want to put your name in for this thing or whatever, but I think that's a way we could go. That's something we haven't yet done. We've got them on the meeting schedule, and we said it was wide open. We publicize as an open meeting, and that's a way to do it. So thank you.
There's even arrows pointing downstairs on stickers going upstairs. It's upstairs. It's upstairs. I refuse to wear a T-shirt to advertise it. I will go so far as carrying a coffee cup that has it on. But, you know, we can just promote. You're right. A lot of people, unfortunately, Ron, if I may, still assume that they know what goes on and that their view is right. And there's been massive, rapid and I think rewarding change, and we've all got to get out there, as he said, and just push that fact of come and have another look, because we really do need to give credit where credit's due to the 2013, and you've done an amazing job of opening up. And it's not comfortable to do that. You know, change is not always easy. You've managed this one extremely well.
Adam, please.
If I apply next year and put in my statement of interest and then I put it on a blog, and if, I, to be honest, as a committee, I wouldn't care if I were you. It doesn't matter. The only thing you can't do is acknowledge it. You can't say that I am a candidate. You can't say that I'm not. You can just say...
We can neither confirm or deny.
You can't. It just is what it is. I wouldn't worry too much about that. It's just part of what people do, and we have... You know, Facebook pages, and we tweet all kind of things, and there's some ridiculous photographs of me around. So, I mean, you know, I wouldn't worry.
Add those into your statement.
Exactly. Some of them are, you know, but I mean, you know, the world is very public these days. So I don't think I don't think you have to worry too much. You just don't. It's very difficult for you to acknowledge it. On another matter, completely, because I'm not going to put in a statement of interest. One thing that disappoints me as someone who's been involved in nominating committees for a long time, so this is nothing to do with my current membership of the committee, is that the constituencies, I feel, still do not help nominating committees as much as they should do. I don't think that they really understand that they should be a major source of candidates. I think they drop you people into this and then somewhat forget about you. And I don't know how to change that because it has always been so. But it is disappointing that, you know, they know people
And I don't think they really tell you, and I don't think they help you as much as they ought to do. So if there's anything you can do to change that for 2014, that would probably be one of the greatest potential changes you could institute. Getting the constituencies to use their Rolodexes of, you know, good people more than they currently do.
Stefan.
Thanks, Jura. Stefan van Gelder again. One of the things that we the leadership team of the, I forget, I don't know if it was the old or the new year, but whatever, some of us met yesterday with two groups, and one of the things that I said in both meetings, which is linked with what you've just said, Adam, was that last year I feel that, as we've all said, we worked heavily on transparency. I think that this year we must add working on a community involvement outreach and making sure that the community itself feels engaged. I think that the right word is probably engagement, that the community feels engaged with the NomCom process and wants to engage with the NomCom process. I think it's absolutely right that transparency boosts that desire and makes it easier to, you know, kick the doors open and come in and suggest and suggest people and suggest changes and just be aware of what's going on. But I think engagement is key, and I would add that I don't think we've started off very well by doing that, because even though the view is superb, having a meeting so remote from the rest of what's going on, I have to wonder if that's a way of making sure that people engage. This is our open meeting, and it's on the top of the building where no one knows where it is, even though Cheryl's wearing T-shirts.
Thank you, Stefan. I think that's a matter for taking up with meetings, because the allocation of the rooms is an art, and a black art indeed.
Okay.
Please.
Hi, Sarah Deutsch. This is a somewhat difficult question, but I'm passing it on because someone asked me to ask it of the NomCom, and this is somebody who apparently applied in the past and got to a certain level and then didn't hear back, and then understands that the SOI will roll again into, you know, they said, I guess, do you want your SOI to be considered again? And the answer was yes. But this person wanted to know, well, how do I know whether I'm wasting my time? Should I just withdraw at a certain point? I don't want to waste the NomCom's time. So that, and this may be a transparency or feedback question, but is there a process for kind of either encouraging, discouraging, or just staying neutral about depending on the numbers, et cetera?
Thank you. Yeah, the unsuccessful candidates are asked afterwards if they want to be candidates next year. And if they say yes, their data stays in the system. However, there is something that perhaps we have to discuss Friday and Saturday, is that is it enough? Or should they actually send in a new SOI? This depends on whether the SOI form is changed from year to year, as they usually are. There are some improvements, and again, to have all the candidates on the same level, we in those cases we have to ask for a new SOI.
While the candidate may be. Well, Adam may, in fact, have his SOI renewed because we rejected him last year, we have a new NomCom. And for a substantial number of the NomCom members, we've never seen Adam's SOI before. So while it may be a refresh for Adam, it's new to the rest of us. And so that perspective is sometimes lost on the potential applicant, is that the NomCom itself has changed. And we don't have the institutional memory of what happened the previous year and why Adam was rejected at the time for whatever reason. We don't know that coming into it. So 2014 has no idea why we threw Adam out last year. And so when he comes back this year, he may be a perfect fit. Well, that's because Adam said that he's not going to turn in an SOI, and I'm going to make sure he doesn't.
Okay, yes, yes.
Hans-Petter Holen from the Address Supporting Organization. I think what we're touching on here is actually the same challenge that we have in any recruitment process. The sort of engagement and outreach, our most important targets are the candidates we turn down, because we need them to feel so good and professionally handled that they will recommend to their friends and their network to apply in the future. And I think that's probably, without knowing the process, but from hearing in the corridors, that there is room for improvement there as well. To give clear feedback, and so that they know that if they try again, they will be professionally handled then as well.
Yeah, the engagement, I think that that is a logical next step from transparency. And it was necessary to open the black box first. And now when it's open, we can actually start engaging the community in the work. And let me just say that we may have all sorts of criteria and advice from people who tell us what kind of candidates, what kind of selectees they would like to have on the board and SO councils and so on and so forth. But we are not... Without the candidate field, fill out the candidate pool, we can't do anything. We are not manufacturing these people to certain specifications. I mean, 50 centimeters and whatever. Even though we are probably going to get pretty precise information this time from the board, but still, everything depends on the candidate pool. So basically, our work. We build it step and step. And if the recruitment and engagement and outreach is not done properly, then the next layers are shaky also. So that's a, yes, please.
Thank you, Sarah. In direct response to this individual. I think the one other element that's important, apart from what's just been said, is that we recognize that every year we're looking for different criteria. For example, on the board last year, we said, okay, we've got hundreds of millions of dollars. Who has experience with being on boards with hundreds of millions of dollars? That was one of the criteria. But now we may say, oh, boy, in light of Brazil, we need governance. You know, so there may be different qualifications. That individual may have been a round peg in a square hole that time, but it might be a perfect fit another time. So that would be what I would, if I were asked that question, I would respond back, because it really is a moving target year by year in all the positions. You know, one time for CCNSO, we had a very good writer. There's a lawyer. They were gone. They needed another writer, a drafter. So there's always a different requirement that night. That's, I think, an important point.
Yeah,
Thank you.
That's really helpful. And I can't remember whether we send a thank you letter or something personal to each of the applicants, but that might help things as well to thank them. And yeah.
Thank you, Cheryl. Okay. This is Fatima Tasesila. I'm from ELAC. I have 2 points. I mean, the first one, I think Ron gave a good answer to that, because I was a little bit confused about, you know, when we have good candidates. I mean, because when Cheryl and Euro were explaining yesterday to the other constituencies that we don't want to lose the good candidates we have. So what are we going to do not to lose them? And then the question from Tore, saying that here is one applicant who thought that his application was good and doesn't know what to do next. Should I reapply? Should I wait for you to tell me what to do? Mm-hmm. And if we don't have the data, I mean, we're supposed to destroy the data. So, I mean, I'm kind of... You know, mm-hmm. So the second one is about outreach within our constituencies. As Adam put it, it's true that when we are within our constituencies, we don't really think NAMCOM. We don't think NAMCOM will come in the room, talk to us, and then ask us to outreach, and then we'll do something maybe during the ICANN meeting, and after that we forgot everything about it. So I was thinking that maybe one opportunity would be to use this crop program. This is within the regions, and see what we can do in terms of outreaching within each region. Mm.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome.
John McElwain. As many people know, I kind of filled in for J. Scott Evans. So forgive me for not knowing the answer to this and asking a question about the 2013 process. Did we make public the sort of needs analysis, gap analysis that the board provided to us? Because I think that that's a great idea, because it should help to a certain extent from outreach. I think, you know, if I were looking for a job, I'd want to apply for one that I clearly was fitting the qualifications for. So that should help. It might also help in Sarah's situation, where somebody is trying to decide whether they should put themselves back up. They can look at those qualifications. So I think that'll be a really big, important thing to do, is to really get that out publicly.
If I may, thank you, John. I think that's a very good idea. But what just struck me when that was the BCG gave us board qualifications, and I think we got it from the CCNO. So we got from everybody. So I think that would be as long as it covers all across the board, I think that's a very helpful idea. No question.
It is. I'm going to say it is on the site. Each year they've been on the site. Yeah. But the question that you've raised, Sarah, is when you've already put in an application for 1 year. We need to find a way to say, oh, and by the way, look what's happened for the coming year. If things have changed, people who may wish to continue need to know about that. So perhaps we need a way to get people to look at the site. It is not the homepage of everyone. Exactly, the newsletter will help, but it is not the homepage of everyone outside the community. And a lot of the people we're talking about may, in fact, be outside the community, because, Fatimata, you are right, we do not, unless we are NAMCOM, think NAMCOM first. And, you know, that is an issue. With the gap analysis question, however, something came up that we may discuss further on the weekend this morning in the leadership discussion with the Board Governance Committee. They were wondering, and whilst this may become a matter for future review issue rather than something for us to grapple with, but we could have a little think about what we might do about this, is there a way to collect unidentified, in other words, all personal information has been removed, but start building a set of, this year we have this type and we looked for this and we got that happening, and that may be the beginning of a body of work or knowledge that could benefit future NAMCOMs. So it seems to me like you're all talking pretty much the same language as they're wanting to talk about as well, which I think is a good thing. It sounds like we're heading in the right direction. Thank you.
No, I'm still thinking about it. You're making it much harder than previous years. Going to the point about returning candidates, so this is the time of year when the chair will be writing to the unsuccessful candidates and saying, would you like to have your SOI considered by the 2014, that sort of thing. So as thinking about what Sarah was saying, you know, you could add the candidate profile that you develop over the weekend and add that to the letter so that they know that it would be there's no reason why you can't continue the process of communicating with them, because normally it's just a one-time shot. But these were people who've spent, you know, when I write my SOI, I'm going to spend quite a lot of time doing that. It's not it's not an easy thing to put together. So communicate with me a few more times, perhaps. And returning candidates are actually, and they may not know this, but I know there are at least two, and it might be three board members who were not successful the first time. There are people sitting on that board who went through NOMCOMs more than one time. So it wasn't, you know, this is a legitimate process of having your SOI considered again actually does lead to success because NOMCOMs look at things differently. So that might be a message that could be got out a little bit more, perhaps, I don't know. But I think it's really a matter of communication with the candidates in ways that previous NOMCOMs have not been confident enough to do. And this is all about the NOMCOM has become, I think, more confident in its ability to be open with people. You know, this is what your committee last year did, Yurio. You've made it more open. And so continue that openness, and the candidates may feel more comfortable. Communicate with them more, when in the past we've been somewhat reluctant to do so.
Thanks, Stefan van Gelder. One of the ways that we can ensure we hold on to quality candidates that are unsuccessful in one round is also to remember that in many instances we are the first members of the ICANN community that they will meet, and they meet us either through our processes or face to face if they are if they get to that stage of the process. They meet us in circumstances that can be quite daunting. So I think it's also worthwhile remembering that we are often the first ambassadors of the ICANN community to some very high-level people. And I think it's also important for us to behave in a way that gives them the desire to continue to apply for these processes and maybe to resubmit. And one concrete suggestion that we can make in that regard is to seek training for the way we handle the candidate interviews or the way we handle the candidate processes. Because we are not recruitment professionals, and it's easy to do something wrong in that kind. I'm not saying that was done last year. I mean, I think, it was. Yeah. That's why I'm stressing it.
Any more comments, questions? Yes, Veronica.
Very quickly, Veronica Kretzo, for the record. I think in the upcoming 2014 committee, we should also try to be more creative and innovative in the way we share and present information. We talk about openness and transparency, which are two very important values and principles. But at the same time, to get more attention and interest, I remember before Durban, I was trying to put some charts presenting, you know, the gender balance, the regional distribution of the candidates, and I think this sort of visual tools would really help the broader community to understand where we are, what we have, and how can that something be balanced from the, you know, in the future, because you can actually provide a picture of, yeah, this is the region where the committee is missing candidates, or these are the gender gaps, or this. So we are kind of going to help the community at large to be able to bring more input, because at the end of the day, we actually get what we give. So the more we innovate and create and make the information user-friendly, the more likely we are going to have a positive response and contribution and input from the community. So maybe this is one of the aspects we also have to discuss on Friday and Saturday, how we innovate with that. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to actually thank you for all the suggestions and innovative proposals you made during 2013. They maybe not all were sort of implemented, but now there's another chance.
We'll see.
Okay. Any more? If not...
Is there any questions from the floor?
Good. Not that I saw.
No questions.
Okay. Thank you. And you want to have some closing words for this?
I'm happy to give everybody 12 minutes of your life back. It may be the last extra time you'll get until this time next year. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. And
we're still recording.
Huh? We're still recording, yes. Yeah.
You want me to stop the recording?
Yes,
yeah,
close recording, thank you.